Father, we thank You for our time together today. Lord, I pray that as we study what Your Word says about the law of command, of binding and loosing, that each person here will receive revelation knowledge, that they'll see the authority that they have through the Lord Jesus Christ, and they can apply that authority, speak that authority into the situations of where they live, where it's at in their lives, and see dynamic changes. Now, Lord, we are very conscious that we need the Holy Spirit to reveal these truths into our minds. And we ask that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we may behold wondrous things from the Word. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
amen.
Praise God and amen. I want to share with you, beginning this morning and then again tonight, on what I call the law of command. Everybody say that. The law of command. One more time. The law of command. You know, I've come to realize in a fresh way. I mean, I've always heard that believers have authority. Amen? But I tell you, you know, then sometimes you hear it. You know what I'm saying? You know it, but then you hear it. I mean, it just comes upon you with a new just burst of revelation knowledge. And there is a place of authority that we have as believers that really few of us have ever realized the extent of that authority and walked in that type of authority. And as I've studied this and as I've applied it in my own life recently, especially I'd say in the past 6 months, just in a powerful way, I've seen tremendous results. All of a sudden I see that when you understand the law of command, that gives you a whole different perspective on life. Instead of always looking up at life, huh? Have you ever been like that? Always, you know, kind of looking up at life. Oh, look at that mountain. Wonder if I can go around it, go under it. Maybe I just won't go at all, you know. Always looking up at life. Instead, when you understand the law of command, glory to God, you're looking down. I mean, you are seated in heavenly places with Christ, and you are looking down. And it doesn't look like a big mountain when you understand the law of command and your authority. All right, let's look at this verse, verse 19. Matthew chapter 16, and let's begin with verse 19. Now, this is Jesus speaking to His disciples. How many disciples do we have here this morning? Let me see your hand. You love Jesus. All right, then this is for you. The rest of you, we'll pray for you after the meeting. Verse 19. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind. Who does it? It says, whatsoever what? Thou shalt. You do it. It's something you do. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever who? Thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And one version even translates it this way. It says, whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall have already been bound in heaven. I mean, that's how quick it is. I mean, can you get that? That's how quick it is. When you do it on earth, it's just done. Now, He says, I will give unto you keys. What are keys for? Unlocking? Locking? Use it on doors. So, when we talk about the keys of the kingdom, and He's given us two basic ones here that I think really are categories, and other little keys fall under those, but you got binding and loosing. Two aspects of these keys. We have the power to lock and unlock doors. Now, I don't think Jesus is talking about, you know, walking around locking your house up and things like that. I mean, you need to lock your house when you leave. I lock my house. How many of you lock your house? Amen. Praise God. We've got agreement on that. But I think Jesus is talking about something much more powerful than that. In fact, look at the context. Look at verse 18. He mentions a certain kind of door. In verse 18, the gates of what? Glory. Are you seeing this? We can unlock and lock the gates of hell. I mean, we can lock the power of hell from coming on somebody's life. And then somebody that's already been trapped, we can go in there and unlock it and go in and get them. Praise God. And it says in the book of Jude, snatching them right out of the fire. Hallelujah. It says even their garments will have smoke on it. They were so close to hell. Amen. Through your power, Jesus has given you power as a believer. He's given me the power. Now, I've always heard that. Again, I'd heard that. I believe that. But when it really hits you, glory to God, it changes you. And we're going to be studying this law of command. All right, let's go. Turn over to chapter 18. Somebody said, well, he was telling Peter that. Oh, Brother Peter had the keys, but he died and we don't have the keys anymore. All right, look at chapter 18 and let's look at verse 18. Jesus says it again, this time just in general. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever who shall bind? Everybody say it. Whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. There it is again. You have that power. You have that authority. Now, I want you to understand, as we approach this subject of the law of command, we are not talking about commanding God. You don't command God. We're His servants. You understand that? But I am talking about commanding the will of God to be done. Do you see the difference in that? In other words, if I'm working on a job and my supervisor comes up and says, I want you to make sure that your department gets these papers out by 5 o'clock today. It's got to be done. You do it. Then you go to your department and you command with all authority to get those papers out by 5 o'clock. Why? Because you know what the will of your supervisor is. So do you see what we're talking about? We're not talking about commanding God, but we're talking about commanding God's known will to be done in a situation. And this is going to change your prayer life. Glory to God, this just changes your whole outlook on prayer. Instead of walking around, oh God, help. Oh God, be with me. You just start saying, I speak healing into that situation. I like how Charles prays. When we were in there praying, some churches I go to, you go in there, glory to God, you've prayed up, you're studied up, you're ready to preach the Word, and there's that pastor waiting on you. You know? I hope we have a crowd today, brother. Oh, really encourages, you know? Then you start praying. And boy, you know, I get on my tiptoes when I get praying. And then they'll pray something like this, God, be with us. Here we are, believers, with Him living in us, and then a pastor will pray, be with us. You know how Charles prays? Boy, he prays with command. He said, we loose the people into liberty today. We loose the healing power of God. And he was praying like, he was commanding this stuff. Oh boy, I was rocking back on my feet. Hallelujah. Praise God. I like praying with people like that. All right, let's go to another chapter. Job 22. Job 22. Now, you understand, when you study the book of Job, and you study books like Ecclesiastes, you don't just take a verse out of context and apply it to your situation. Do you understand that? It is the Word of God. But many times it's not something that's to be applied in your life. For instance, in Ecclesiastes it says something like, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. You see, now you don't go standing on that. But it is the inspired Word of God because it was written by Solomon when he was in a backslidden situation. And it's God's Word to us on how backsliders think and how they feel. But you have to be discerning. Now, this Job, the book of Job is much like that. In this passage in Job, if you'll study it, this is a particular passage we can take for ourselves. Job 22, and let's look at verse 28. Remember, we're talking about the law of command. Commanding God's known will into a situation. Jesus called it binding, loosing, and look what it's called here in Job, verse 28. It says, thou shalt also decree a thing. So when we talk about the law of command, we're talking about decreeing a thing. You know what a decree is? You proclaim it. I mean, you set the stage, you say this is how it's going to be. This is how I decree that it's going to be. He says, thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee. How many of you would like to live like that? How many of you would like to learn how to decree into your finances? How many of you would like to learn how to decree into a situation that maybe you've prayed over, you've agonized over for even years, and learn the key that's going to unlock that door just overnight? I had a recent experience where I had the privilege of praying with two members of my immediate family to be saved. Glory. I'd been praying for years. God save them. if you can. Don't know if they'll listen or not. I prayed kind of, you know, mealy mouth like that. You have people like that you pray for? I mean, you know, really deep down inside, you just think they're beyond hope. But, you know, we're supposed to pray for them. You ever have anybody like that? Prayed for them. Finally, I started being taught by the Holy Spirit in this law of command. I didn't pray like that anymore. You know how I prayed? I said, I speak salvation into so-and-so's life. I thank you, Father, that the scales are removed from their eyes and they no longer have the blinding power of Satan on them. They can see the glorious light of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. I said, I thank you, Father, that so-and-so has a tender heart. Now, they didn't, of all outward appearance, have a tender heart. Every time I just about get ready to share salvation, they'd share with me, you know, a joke. Just kill the whole situation. I was just about ready to share the Lord. And they'd say, did you hear the one about you? Oh, brother, you know. No outward indication of a tender heart. But as I spoke this, as I began commanding this into the spirit realm, changes started to occur. And I had the privilege of several weeks ago praying and seeing them saved. Hallelujah! It'll lock it and it'll unlock it. But look what he says here. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. Now, if you're going to operate in that type of power, there's some prerequisites, friends. You're going to have to be committed to the Lord. You're going to have to be walking in the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You're going to have to know Him. You don't just walk, you know, into any old office, IBM, here I come walking into IBM, and I just walk into any department and say, I command you to have the papers out by 5 o'clock. They'll say, well, who's the supervisor? I don't know. I just command you to do it. They'll just escort you right out the little front door. But when you know the supervisor, see, look what he says in verse 21. Let's look at the prerequisites. Job 22, verse 21. He says, you've got to acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. You've got to know him. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Not bad. What does it say? Good. Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth and lay up his words in thine heart. Do you see that? When you lay up God's word into your heart, your desires and the things you say are going to be based on his word in your heart. All right, look at verse 23. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles. Then shalt thou lay up gold as dust. Actually, that's translated really in the original. You'll just put your gold in the dust. In other words, compared to God, you're not going to be, you know, seeking gold as your God. You just throw it down there in the dust. And when you do that, look what the next verse says. It says, then thou shalt lay down gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of brooks. Yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense, and thou shalt have plenty of silver. You see, you're getting your priorities right. You're counting gold and the pursuits of the world as dust, but when you do that and you begin to seek God and get in His Word and His way, He'll add it back unto you. It's kind of like the old story I heard and preacher tell about this 90-year-old lady getting her priorities right. You know, 90-year-old lady, she was crossing the street and she just bought a new hat, you know, and boy, she had that hat on. Well, this businessman kind of, he hopped down there to help her across the street, 90-year-old lady, and the wind started blowing. He said, better grab your dress. She said, She said, I'm grabbing my hat. She said, my legs are 90 years old. My hat's brand new. She had her priorities right. Well, that's kind of cute, I think. So, you know, help them out, guys. If they're crossing the street and they go for their hat, help them out. You're going to have your priorities right if you're going to operate in this law of command. Look at verse 26. For then shalt thou have thy delight in the Almighty, and shalt lift up thy face unto God. Thou shalt make thy prayer unto Him, and He shall hear thee, and thou shalt pay thy vows. In other words, you're being faithful to God. You're walking with God. If you say, I'm going to give $500 for the new PA system, honey, you're going to come through with it. You're going to pay your vows. See what I'm saying? Now, that doesn't mean you're perfect. Nobody's perfect. praise God, that we have an advocate with the Father. When we sin, we can go unto Him. But what I'm saying is you're walking to the best of your ability in the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And when you do that, look at verse 28 right in context. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. How many of you want to live like that? Walking in the law of command. Because we know the commander. Glory to God. All right, let's look at another passage. Now, thus far, the scriptures we've looked at, Matthew and the one in Job, this has been a scriptural basis for the law of command. Do you see it in the scriptures? Can you see a basis in the scriptures for what we're talking about? Now, I want to move to another thought along this line, and that is the means of application of the law of command. The means of application. When I say I'm going to apply something, you say, I'm going to paint the church. Well, how are you going to apply that paint? With a brush. So I'm going to show you the means of application. How do you apply this law of command on the situations of your life? We're going to paint that law of command right on the situations of your life. How do you do it? All right, let's go to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 37. Well, I'll tell you what, this is an exciting story. Glory to God. I've read it. You've read it, but all of a sudden I saw what the principles therein are. Ezekiel 37, and we'll start with verse 1. We're talking about the means of application of this law of command that we're discussing. Ezekiel 37, and let's look at verse 1. Now, as we read this, and you remember this is the story of the Valley of Dry Bones, it's not so much my purpose here to try to interpret what that prophecy was about. But let's look at some principles that God was teaching Ezekiel as He gave that prophecy. Now, I believe that basically what He's talking about is the restoration of Israel. You see, that's the Valley of Dry Bones. But let's look at a little deeper than that, and let's look at some of these principles. Verse 1. And the hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Now let's get the picture. Here's Ezekiel. No telling what he was doing, worshiping God, fasting, seeking the Lord. All of a sudden the Lord just snatches his spirit man up, and just flies him to this valley. Boy, there he goes. Wouldn't you like to be like that? Just flying. Oh, don't drop me, Lord. Flying to the Valley of Dry Bones. And you say, boy, look at all those bones. They're very dry. I heard Derek Prince teaching on this a number of years ago. And, of course, he was teaching that this is the restoration of Israel, which I agree with, which occurred in 1948. And he said it wouldn't surprise him at all if Ezekiel did not actually see the piles of bones that were in the concentration camps in Germany after World War II. I mean, that literally happened. Do you know that? That literally was seen. And who knows that Ezekiel did not see that? All right, let's go on. Verse 3. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, thou knowest. What valley of dry bones do you have in your life right now? Are your finances dry? Is there some aspect of healing that seems to be dried up and beyond hope? Is there somebody you've been praying for years that, you know, they're not saved yet and it just looks so dry? Have you just come through a terrible experience where the devil has robbed from you something, and it just seems like your life is dry and there's no hope? And God comes along and He says, you know, can these bones live? Well, most of us would answer just like Him. I'd say, Lord, I don't know. Only You know. In other words, You're going to have to do it, God. But you know what God told Him to do? He said, He said, I'll work with you, but You're going to have to do something. Look what He says. Verse 4. Again He said unto me, prophesy unto these bones and say unto them. Do you see that? God said, if you want these bones to come together and stand up and live, you're going to have to speak with command unto them. You're going to have to take my known will. I'll tell you what to say, Ezekiel, but you're going to have to take it and you're going to have to apply it with your mouth. That's what we're talking about. The application, the means of application of the law of command is you speaking with authority to your situations. That's what it is. That's the brush. You've got to speak with authority now to your situations, God's word and God's known will. That's the way it's going to work. All right, look what he says. Again he said unto me, verse 4, prophesy unto these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones. Now here's Ezekiel. Won't you kind of feel foolish standing over there, a bunch of bones? Bones? Do you hear me? Not even a rattle. I said bones. Kind of looks back at God and God says, go ahead. All right, bones, you hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. Now see, he's up here commanding this stuff. And you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. I want to tell you something. When you get hold of this law of command, there's going to be some noise, glory to God. Some old dry bones are going to start moving. Some things you thought were beyond hope are going to start coming together in proper place. You're not going to have a leg and an arm bone get together. I mean the leg's going to hook in where it's supposed to be. God's going to start fitting your life in the way that it's supposed to be. How? By you applying with your mouth the law of command, speaking God's word to that situation. It's exciting. I think we've got that kind of power. All right? So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. I want to tell you something. You may have to apply the law of command once. You may have to apply it twice. But you apply it until the thing stands up and it lives.
Amen.
See, there they are all together. Verse 9. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Now, would you kind of go this far with me that he wasn't speaking to the wind? I believe it was the Holy Spirit, don't you? I believe it was the Spirit of God that was able to come in and cause these things to live. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. Verse 10. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Hallelujah. As you learn to move in this law of command, as you learn to speak with authority to your valley of dry bones, there's going to be some noise. There's going to be some shaking. There's going to be some coming together. And then you speak unto the Holy Spirit to move, and breath will come into them. Now I want to tell you a dream that I had a number of weeks ago. This is true. I had a dream. It was one of those nighttime dreams. It wasn't just a daytime dream. It was a nighttime dream. And you know, when I woke up, you can tell the difference between God's dream and a pizza dream. Amen? I mean, you know, when you ate too much. I knew it was from the Lord. But in this dream, I was in heaven. I know I was in heaven. I didn't see the pearly gates, by the way. But I was in heaven. And there was just, it was just gorgeous, just like this. That's why we like plants, you know. There were plants everywhere. It was like just a manicured garden in heaven. And there was kind of like plants and trees and shrubs all. But then there was like a minutely manicured pathway of grass. I mean, like somebody had been out there and just really spent time on it. Probably the angels, I guess. So here I was, and I was walking, and on this far end was a waterfall. And there's something special about that water. It didn't look any different, but inside I said, there's something special about that water. In my dream, I could just recognize there's something different about that water. And I said, I want to just go touch it. I don't know why we like to touch, you know, little babies, you know, like we go to touch everything. They're dangerous when they start walking, amen? You got to put things up. But I just wanted to go touch it. So I was walking towards it, and it was kind of glistening. It was real beautiful sunlight up there, and it was kind of glistening. And as I got over to it, all of a sudden, the gigantic face of Jesus appeared in the water. Took me back. I said, I'm not going to go touch it. And here I was standing here. And, you know, Jesus, you say, what did he look like? Well, to me, he probably looked like I've been programmed to think of him. He had the long hair. You know, he had the compassion on his face. There, his face was in the water now, in the water. And I knew that, of course, that was the living water. And so here I was looking at Jesus. And I begin to talk and I begin to say, you know, I've got these things in my life and I've got these needs in my life. And the Lord spoke to me and he says, I need you up here to do some work. I thought, oh glory. I'm not ready to go right now. He says, I need you up here to do some work. And it kind of disturbed me, you know. And I said, well, I've got these problems. And all of a sudden, the face of Jesus became four faces in a box, in a square. There was four faces in each direction. And he opened his mouth to speak. And I mean, I didn't ever hear what he said. The minute he opened his mouth, his hair just started blowing. The shrubs and the bushes just started blowing. Just 90 miles an hour up there. He was speaking in all directions. And all of a sudden, I was out of heaven and I was in a desert. I was one level down. I was face to face with the devil. I thought, oh, glory. You know how your old carnal thinking rises up? I said, oh, glory to God. He's turned me over to the devil. Oh, no. What have I done? I repent, God. So there I was. And I was face to face with the devil. And I didn't see one bush, one shrub, nothing. I mean, it was just desert. Just white sand desert. And it was sunshine, but it was hot sunshine. And the devil, he looked like a man. He didn't look like anything special. He just looked like a man to me. And boy, he was mad at me. And he was walking around like this and he was prancing back and forth like he was mad, spitting mad. And I walked up to him in my dream and I started rebuking him in the name of Jesus. And I started backing him up and he was just getting mad like this. He didn't want to back up. And I was backing him all the way up across there. And all of a sudden I was in bed. And you just say, you probably about as confused as I. What in the world does that mean? And I told Martha, I said, I just had a dream. I mean, a God dream. And she said, well, what happened? So I described the whole thing to her. And I said, that really bothers me. He needs me up here. I said, you know, I'm just 30 years old. I don't need to be going. And so as I sought the Lord and he showed me this, I got the interpretation to that dream. The interpretation of that dream was that here I was in heaven, and that water is the power of God that flows from heaven, from the third heaven down unto earth. That's the power of God that meets every need. That water can meet every need. And what God was saying to me was, quit running around down here trying to put it all together. I need you up here in the heavenlies to do some work for me. And so here I am describing all my problems to him. And he says, well, you don't understand the law of command. I'm going to show you the law of command. And as he opened his mouth, north, south, east, and west, he said, you speak in every direction. The minute you open your mouth, the Holy Spirit just starts moving. That starts releasing spiritual energy and power to go to work for you. And all of a sudden, I was down in the face of the devil. And he was showing me that when you have power up here, you have authority against the devil. And I was backing that devil up. You see, I was backing him up. And all of a sudden, I was in bed. And what God was saying to me, you start reaching up here in the spirit realm, exercise authority in the spirit realm. That causes you to have power over the devil and, yes, power over the things in the earth. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Go ahead. Give the Lord a hand. Thank you, Jesus. Aren't you glad I'm not going to heaven? Hallelujah. I am too. You know, that helped me to see what God was saying. He was saying, man, you have more power than you realize. So you need to start speaking. And the wind starts moving. gives you authority in every realm. But if I'm always down here just trying to work in the natural, now there's nothing wrong with, you got to do things in the natural. But you understand what I'm saying is if all I'm ever doing is trying to, you know, accomplish God's work down here in the natural, I need to take time to come up there. I need to take time to come up and pray prayers of command, speaking God's known will, God's word into the situations, north, south, east, west, every direction of my life. Well, let's look at some other verses along this line. Let's go to 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5. By the way, I don't have dreams every night. I don't want to give you that, you know, feeling that here I have 30 dreams a week from the Lord. In fact, I've only had several this year that I feel would be from God. 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, and let's look at verses 8 and 9. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Do you understand the devil is against you? But do you understand that we have power over him? He's a toothless lion. You ever seen a toothless lion? Rawr! I'm going to bite you. You open his mouth up, he doesn't have any teeth, just gum. When you know your power in the Lord. You never heard of anybody being gummed to death by a lion, have you? "Roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith." Who's supposed to do that? Who? Don't go to the Lord and say, "Lord, please take this satanic attack off of me." No, don't do that. You go and you say, "Lord, I thank you that you've given power through Jesus Christ unto me, and I resist you, Satan. I resist you, devil." Do you see that? That's just the way God set it up. I don't know why. "Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Don't think it's strange when you're going through tests and trials. Satan's trying to hit us all. You just stand in your faith and you don't give up. All right, go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Now tonight, in tonight's session, it's going to be a little bit different service tonight. I hope you can come if at all possible. I'm going to teach you how to actually command the blessings of God into your life. I didn't say you're going to command God. You're going to take God's known will, His blessings, and you're going to speak them into your life. And it's going to sound probably like chaos in here. We're all going to be speaking the blessings of God at one time into our lives. And I think when you leave here, you're going to walk out with a new mentality, a new perspective on life. You're going to know that you're above and not beneath. You're the head and you're not the tail, because you have released that power into the spirit realm, which gives you authority over Satan's dominion and earth's dominion. It's going to be exciting. All right, where were we? James chapter 4, verse 7. Is that where I am? All right, verse 7. "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you." Who does that? We do. You do as the believer. All right, let's go to Psalm 148. I want to give you some more scriptures on this. The application of the law of command, applying it. This will show you, I believe, a new perspective of your praise and your worship and why it's so important. You know, it's real tempting when we get together. Oh, we get to be big praisers when we come to church. You know, when we come to church. But when we're in the car, you know, it's like, "Get out of my way. I can't believe, where'd you get your license anyway to drive?" We need to be praising the Lord all the time. Psalm 148. I'm sorry, 149. Correct my notes here. Psalm 149. And let's look at verse 5. "Let the saints be joyful in glory." Amen. I mean, you need to be walking around the glory of the Lord. You've got the glory of the Lord. "Let them sing aloud upon their beds." How many of you sing aloud upon your beds? Let me see your hand. Oh, dear Jesus, you need to come tonight. You need what I have. Oh, it's just wonderful. Lay on your bed. I'm just saying. Get glory on your bed. That way, see, if you fall out in the Spirit, no problem. No catchers needed. You're right there. All right, verse 6. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. Now, let's home in on verse 6. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Aha. Here we are. We're praising God. And as we praise God, remember now Jesus. He was up there, and the minute He spoke, things started happening. As we begin to praise unto God, that puts a two-edged sword in our hand. A two-edged sword is good for one thing. That's a cut. Hallelujah. Just like a key. We're going to unlock some things. We're going to unbind some things. Verse 7. To execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people. Look what you do when you do that. Verse 8. To bind their kings with chains. Well, who are the kings that we bind? We bind the principalities and the powers. You see, in the unseen spirit realm. They've got rank and rule just like the angels do for God. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. Look at verse 9. To execute upon them judgment written. This honor have preachers. Is that what yours says? This honor have those who've been to Bible school. This honor have all His what? Saints. Glory to God, if you're a believer, you're a saint. Saint Jason. Hallelujah. St. Charles. Well, that sounds more distinguished. Hallelujah. Amen. St. Charles the Fourth. Hallelujah. What do? We execute upon them the judgment written. You see there, he's talking about something you do with your mouth again. Notice what he said. You pray something with your mouth, singing aloud. Here you are, you're singing unto God. Oh Lord, I thank You for the blessings in my life. I thank You that my basket is filled. I thank You that my storehouse is filled. Oh Lord, I thank You I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. And as you begin to release that kind of stuff in the spirit realm, glory to God, the commands are going forth. I mean, the sparks are flying and the blessings are coming your way. Praise the Lord. Now, to kind of close up, I want to spend the next 5 or 10 minutes here and give you 3 points. And if you're taking notes, I suggest you write these down. 3 points for using the law of command. And then tonight, we're actually going to use it. You see that? I want to show you using the law of command this morning. So it's 3 points. And then tonight, we're going to use the law of command. After a few more minutes of instruction tonight, we're all going to participate in it. All right, number one, the first point on using the law of command, identify and write out your desire. Identify and write out your desire. Make sure that you can say with confidence that it is God's will. That's very important. Identify and write out your desire. Make sure that you can say with confidence that it is God's will. Now tonight, you're not going to have to write it out because it's already written for you what we're going to do. We're just going to take something that's already written out right here in the manual. Something we already know is God's will. I mean, we can make sure beyond a shadow of a doubt it is God's will because it's right here in the Word. And we're just all going to walk around commanding it. Hallelujah. It's just telling the devil, you take your filthy hands off of my dry bones. They're going to stand up and they're going to live. All right, number two. The second principle for using the law of command. Well, let me give you some verses for point one. How about that? Just jot these down. We won't take time to look them up. Habakkuk 2, verse 2. Habakkuk 2, verse 2. It's like some people like to say, Habakkuk. It's like this one. We heard this one tape. This lady in Atlanta. She was kidding around. We knew she was kidding around, but she was in a teaching class. She said, "Everybody, turn with me to Malachi, chapter 3, verse 10." Malachi, Malachi. You know, I thought, glory to God, that must be the first Italian prophet in the Bible. Turn with me to Malachi. Hallelujah. Oh, we were doing some Bible charades over at somebody's house, and this blessed girl, bless her sweet little heart. We had to write down some things that you have to act out. Have you ever done that where you can't speak and it was a bunch of Christians together? And so we wrote down a book. What was Malachi? And they were going to have to act out, you know, get across Malachi, and everybody had to guess Malachi. And so this girl, I guess she was a new believer or something, but she was up there, she had Malachi, and here she was trying to first syllable, second syllable, and all this stuff sounds like, you know, and all this. And the girls were kidding with her, and they said, Malachi! Well, she was a new Christian. She looked at that, and she went, looked at us like, is that how you say that? Malachi. We were going, that won't get it. All right, another verse for number one. 1 John 5:14-15. In fact, let's look at that one together. 1 John 5:14-15. I want you to see beyond a shadow of a doubt that this thing will work if in your heart you can know with confidence that what you are doing is God's will. I mean, there's no problem with that. 1 John 5:14-15. It says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He what? Hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've desired of Him. I mean, if you've identified your desire, and you can say, man, I know that's God's will, brother, that gives you power and authority. Amen? But if you're in there wavering back and forth in your mind, well, I don't know. You see, then faith can't rise for the occasion. But when you know it's God's will, man, you can dig your heels in and faith rises up in you and all the demons of hell could come against you, but you're going to be able to stand your ground. And having done all, you'll be able to stand. Dressed in the full armor of God, I'm not moving off of my place. I'm not giving one inch. I know God's told me to be here. That's why a lot of people get wiped out, is they don't know what is God's will. All right, number two. Second principle for using the law of command, mentally visualize and see your desire as though it were already accomplished. Mentally visualize. You know what the word visualize means? It means to picture, to imagine. Mentally visualize and see your desire as though it were already accomplished. That's so important. You underline that. As though it were already accomplished. What do you think Ezekiel was doing when he was standing over that? God had already told him, said, now you say this, you tell the bones to come together, you tell the flesh to come upon the bones, the muscles, and he said, you tell breath. So what was he doing? He was standing, there he was standing over that valley, and he was speaking in the seen realm, it looked just like bones, but in his mind he was thinking, now these things are supposed to stand up. These things are supposed to come together. And you know, when I was praying for the members of my immediate family, I just imagined them saved. I imagined just being able to walk in and saying, what's the Lord been showing to you? And them not getting all freaked out about it, you know? You walk up to somebody that's unsaved and just say, what's God been showing unto you? And they go, huh? But I pictured it different. I imagined it different. All right, then some verses for that. Of course, the passage in Ezekiel 37. Another good verse, 2 Corinthians 4:18. That verse says, wherefore we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For things which are seen are temporal. Things which are not seen are eternal. So you train yourself to see in your mind, to imagine and to picture the good things, the positive things of God. Another good verse, Hebrews 11:1, the definition of faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things what? Not seen. You've got the substance and you've got the evidence. All right, number three. The third principle for using the law of command, and I think probably you put a little star beside this one. Those other two were just kind of like preparation. Number three, speak commands and affirmations. I'll go slow on this where you can get it all down. Speak commands and affirmations out loud for your desire to manifest. Speak commands. Isn't that what God told Ezekiel to do? Speak commands. You stand over and prophesy. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about prophesying to your situation. Speak commands and affirmations out loud for your desire to manifest. Then one other sentence under that one. Say them with faith, feeling, and God's Word. I'll explain that in just a moment. Say them with faith, feeling, and God's Word. In other words, here you are. You've already identified it. You know what's God's will. You're visualizing it. You begin to speak the affirmations, the commands, out loud. And if you can't quote the Scripture, it's good. I like to just walk around doing it with my Bible open. And if I don't really have my Bible with me, then I just paraphrase it. But let's take like Psalm 91. I use that one a lot. Oh, that's a good one. Don't you like Psalm 91? I just walk around saying, I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I say of the Lord, He is my refuge. God is my refuge. He's my fortress. In Him will I trust. Surely He will deliver me, Jason Peebles, from the snare of the fowler. I just go like that. I'm speaking it out loud. And I'm doing it with faith, feeling, and God's Word. Now, why feeling? Feeling is important. And I know that we don't depend on emotions, but feelings are part of the human personality, whether you like that or not. And I tell you, the spirit powers have feelings. I mean, that's the difference between somebody walking up to me and saying, look at me right in the eyeballs and saying, I'm really upset with you. And somebody walking up, I'm upset with you! That has two different reactions in me. The first one, when somebody says, I'm upset with you, I go, what did I do wrong, brother? When they say, I'm upset with you, I go, what? Two different reactions. And I tell you, when you start walking around saying, God is my source, He's the strength of my life, I shall not want, He does lead me, beside them still waters, they're awfully still. In fact, I feel like going to sleep right now. They're so still. But when you walk around saying, the Lord is my shepherd, He's the strength of my life, I shall not want. And you're saying it with faith. In fact, I feel like going to sleep right now. They're so still. But when you walk around saying, the Lord is my shepherd, He's the strength of my life, I shall not want. And you're saying it with faith and feeling and with the God's Word, that's loosing that power. Praise the Lord. Now, some verses for that. And we've already covered them. You may just want to jot them down again under this context. Matthew 18:18-19. That's that law of command, law of binding and loosing. And then, of course, Ezekiel 37. I think, to me, that's the best one we can find in the Word, 1 through 10. Ezekiel 37, 1 through 10. Now, let me prepare you for tonight. Tonight, we're going to take this basis and launch into commanding God's blessings into your life. I'm going to show you exactly what passage we're going to use, and then we're all going to use it, and it's going to change your life. It's not just going to be something you're going to sit there and listen to. You're going to participate in it. Just right where you are. I mean, you're not going to come up in front of the class or anything like that. We're just going to all be, you know, in our proper places unto the Lord, commanding the blessings in our life. And if you have needs, financial needs, any kind of needs, especially things that have been kind of stubborn, things that you've prayed for and you've just about felt like you've given up on, things that are stubborn, man, when you start moving in this realm, it'll change you. Praise God. Let's stand up.
Hello, this is Jason Peebles. I want to thank you for listening to this cassette message. My desire is that our ministry will make a positive difference in your life. I'd like to take a moment to share with you how you can be involved in helping us take God's Word around the world. We are living in one of the most exciting times in history, and it's friends just like you who make it possible for us to reach our generation. Here's our vision in two parts. First of all, Martha and I have the call of God to teach the positive message of God's Word around the world. We've been doing this since 1979, and we're doing it right now through conferences, cassette tapes, literature, and radio. The second part of our ministry concerns missions. You may be less familiar with this part, but our organization serves as the home office for foreign missionaries who are working in many nations. These are full-time families, most of whom have been to Bible school and many to language school, and they are now serving on the mission field through our office. And our missionary agency is continuing to expand. Yet, we realize that there are still millions of people around the world who have not yet been reached for Jesus Christ. I'd like to invite you to join with us in this vision for reaching around the world with God's Word. The only way that we can accomplish what God has called us to do is through friends just like you. If this teaching ministry has blessed you, and if you feel that God would have you join with us, I'm asking that you take a moment to contact our office and let us know. The easiest way to do it is to simply call our toll-free number and tell one of our secretaries that you desire to become a monthly partner. We will record your commitment and then contact you by mail. You may choose to support us with a certain amount each month, or you may prefer to give variable amounts each month. Whatever you can do will be greatly appreciated. So please prayerfully consider calling us today. You can call us toll-free between 9 to 5 Eastern Time. Call 1-800-832-WORD. That's 1-800-832-WORD. Or you can write to World Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box B, Marietta, Georgia, 30061. Together, we can make a world of difference with God's Word. This is Jason Peebles reminding you that there is victory for today.